Go ahead.
Excerpt number one, Baal HaSulam. First thing in the morning, when he rises from his sleep, he should sanctify the first moment with Dvekut with him, pour out his heart to the Creator, to keep him throughout the 24 hours of the day, so that no idle thought will come into his mind, and he will not consider it impossible or above nature. Indeed, it is the image of nature that makes an iron partition, and one should cancel nature's partitions that he feels. Rather, first, he must believe that nature's partitions do not cut off from him. Afterward, he should pray from the bottom of his heart, even for something that is above his natural desire. Understand this always, even when forms that are not of Kedusha, holiness, traverse you, and they will instantly stop when you remember. See that you pour out your heart, that henceforth the Creator will save you from cessations of Dvekut with Him. Gradually, your heart will grow accustomed to the Creator and will yearn to adhere to Him in truth, and the Lord's desire will succeed by you.
We know this
altogether.
Excerpt number two, Baal HaSulam. One must always try to adhere to the Creator, namely that all his thoughts will be about Him. That is to say, even if he is in the worst state, from which there cannot be a greater decline, he should not leave his domain. Namely, that there is another authority that prevents him from entering the Kedusha, holiness, that can bring benefit or harm. That is, he must not think that there is a force of the Sitra Acha, other side, that does not let a person do good deeds and walk in the ways of the Creator. Rather, all is done by the Creator.
Number three, Baal HaSulam writes, one has no choice but to direct all the present and future moments to be offered and presented to his great name. One who rejects a moment before him, for it is difficult, displays his folly openly. For all worlds and all times are not worthwhile for him, because the light of his face is not clothed in the changing times and occasions, although one's work certainly changes because of them. This is why, thanks to our holy fathers, faith and confidence above reason have been prepared for us, which one uses in tougher times effortlessly and tirelessly.
Again.
Number four, Rabash writes, one must believe, as was said above, that there is none else besides him, meaning that it is the Creator who compels him to do the good deeds. But since he is still unworthy of knowing that it is the Creator who commits him, the Creator dresses himself in dresses of flesh and blood, through which the Creator performs these actions. Thus, the Creator acts in the form of a Choraim, posterior. In other words, the person sees people's faces, but he should believe that behind the faces stands the Creator and performs these actions. That is, behind the man stands the Creator and compels him to do these deeds that the Creator wants. It follows that the Creator does everything, but the person regards what he sees and not what he should believe.
But.
Excerpt number 5. Rabash writes, a person should pay attention to this and believe that the Creator is tending to him and guiding him on the track that leads him to the king's palace. It follows that he should be happy that the Creator is watching over him and he is giving him the descents as well. That is, the person should believe as much as he can understand that the Creator is giving him the ascents, since certainly a person cannot say that he himself receives the ascents, but that the Creator wants to bring him closer. This is why he gives him the ascents. Also, a person should believe that the Creator gives him the descents, because he wants to bring him closer. Therefore, every single thing that he can do, he must do it as though he is in a state of ascent. Therefore, when he overcomes a little during the descent, it is called an awakening from below. Each act that he does, he believes that this is the Creator's will, and by this itself is rewarded with greater nearing, meaning that the person himself begins to feel that the Creator has brought him closer.
Niv.
Excerpt number 6, Rabash writes, all the illnesses that I had placed on Egypt, I will not place on you, for I, the Lord, am your healer. Our sages ask, if I do not place the illness, what is the need for a healer? We should interpret that since I am the healer, why should I place on you an illness if I must heal the illness? What do I gain by placing an illness? It must be as a punishment. And if I must heal the illness, what kind of punishment is it? It is as though I work for nothing. For this reason, I will not place illness upon you. And what you think is illness, you are wrong about it. Rather, all the states you feel, if you attribute them to me, are all corrections by which you will approach me in dvekut, adhesion.
Let's see today.
Excerpt number 7. It's written in the Zohar, it is a law that the created being cannot receive disclosed evil from the Creator, for it is a flaw in the glory of the Creator, for the created being to perceive him as an evil doer, for this is unbecoming of the complete operator. Hence, when one feels bad, denial of the Creator's guidance lies upon him, and the superior operator is concealed from him to that same extent. This is the greatest punishment in the world. Thus, the sensation of good and evil in relation to his guidance brings with it a sensation of reward and punishment. For one who exerts not to part from faith in the Creator is rewarded even when he tastes a bad taste in providence. And if he does not exert, he will have a punishment because he is separated from faith in the Creator.
Shuv, keta mispar 7.